भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय शुश्रुषो शब्दधानस्य वासुदेव कतारुचिः श्यान्महत्सेवया विप्राः पुण्यतीर्थनिषेवनात्. ओ ट्वाइस बॉर्न सेजेस, बाय सर्विंग दोज डिवोटीज हु आर कंप्लीटली फ्रीड फ्रॉम ऑल वाइस, ग्रेट सर्विस इज डन. बाय सच सर्विस वन गेन्स एफिनिटी फॉर हियरिंग द मैसेजेस ऑफ वासुदेव. शृण्वतां स्वकथाः कृष्णः पुण्यश्रवणकीर्तनः हृदयन्तस्तो ह्यभद्राणि विदुनोति सुहृत्सताम्. श्री कृष्ण, द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड हू इज द परमात्मा सुपर सोल इन एवरीवन्स हार्ट एंड द बेनिफैक्टर ऑफ द ट्रूथफुल डिवोटी, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Nashta prayeshva bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati ut तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी. बाय रेगुलर अटेंडेंस इन क्लासेस ऑन द भागवतम एंड बाय रेंडरिंग ऑफ सर्विस टू द प्योर डिवोटी, ऑल दैट इज ट्रबलसम टू द हार्ट इज ऑलमोस्ट कंप्लीटली डिस्ट्रॉयड. एंड लविंग सर्विस अनटु द पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड हु इज प्रेस्ड विद ट्रांसेंडेंटल सॉन्ग्स इज एस्टैब्लिश्ड एज एन इरिवोकेबल फैक्ट. तदा रजस्तमो भावाः कामलोबादयश्च ये चेत एतैर् अनाविद्धं सितं सत्वे प्रसीदति. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy.
Evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogatah bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate.
Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association.
Vidyate hridaya grantesh chidyante sarva samshayah क्षीयन्ते चास्य कर्माणि दृष्ट एवात्मनीश्वरे.
Thus the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees the self as master.
हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 84, Verse 65. Sri Sukha Uvacha. Evam Sakrada Saitilya. Chitta Anukudunda Bhi. Ruroda Tatkritam Maitrim. Smaran Asra Vilochanaha. Srisuka Uvacha. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, Evam, thus, Saltrada, by intimate sympathy, Shaitilya, made soft, Chitta, whose heart, Anakudundabi, Vasudeva, Rurodha, cried, Tat, by him, Kritam, done, Maitrim, acts of friendship, Smaran, remembering, Asru, tears, Vilochana, in whose eyes. Sukadev Goswami said, his heart, softened by feelings of intimate sympathy, Vasudev wept, his eyes brim with tears as he remembered the friendship Nanda had shown him. On his part, Nanda was also full of affection for his friend Vasudeva. Thus, during the following days, Nanda would repeatedly announce, I will be leaving later today, and I will be leaving tomorrow. But out of love for Krishna and Balaram, he remained there for 3 more months, honored by all the Yadus. Purport. After settling that he would leave first thing in the morning, Nanda would then decide, I'll go later today. And then when the afternoon came, he would say, I'll just stay until tomorrow. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti suggests one possible reason for his procrastination. Nanda secretly intended to bring Krishna back with him to Vraja, but did not want to break Vasudeva's heart. Thus, his indecision continued for 3 months. Then, after Vasudeva, Ugrasena, Krishna, Uddhava, Balaram, and others had fulfilled his desire and presented him with precious ornaments, fine linen, and varieties of priceless household furnishings, Nanda Maharaj accepted all these gifts and took his leave. Seen off by all the Yadus, he departed with his family members and residents of Vraja. Purport. According to Srila Vishnu Chakravarti, at the end of 3 months, Maharaj Nanda approached Krishna and told him, My dear son, for one drop of perspiration from your divine face, I am ready to give up countless lives. Let us leave now for Vraja. I cannot spend any more time here. And then he went to Vasudeva and told him, My dear friend, please send Krishna to Vraja. And of King Ugrasena he requested, Please order my friend to do this. If you refuse, I will have to drown myself here in Lord Parasaram's lake. Just watch. If you do not believe me, we people of Vraja came to this holy place not to gain some piety on the occasion of the solar eclipse, but to get Krishna back or die. Hearing these desperate words from Nanda, Vasudeva and the others tried to pacify him with valuable gifts. Well-versed in the arts of diplomacy, Vasudeva consulted with his most trustworthy advisors and then satisfied Sri Nanda by telling him, My dearest friend, O King of Vraja, it is true, of course, that none of you can live without Krishna, and how can we allow you to kill yourselves? Therefore, by all means, I must send Krishna back to Vraja. I will do so right after we accompany him and his friends and relatives and friends, among them many helpless women, back to Dwarka. Then the very next day, without trying to obstruct him in any way, I will let him leave for Vraja at an auspicious time of the day. This I swear to you 1,000 times over. After all, how can we who came here with Krishna go home without him? What will people say about us? You are a great scholar in all matters, so please forgive me for making this request to you. Next, Ugrasena addressed Nanda Maharaj, My dear master of Vraja, I bear witness to Vasudeva's statement and take this solemn vow. I will send Krishna back to Vraja, even if I have to do it by force. Then Lord Krishna, joined by Uddhava and Balaram, spoke to Nanda in private. He said, Dear father, if I go directly to Vraja today, leaving aside all these Rishnis, they will die from the pain of separation from me. Then many thousands of enemies more powerful than even Keshi and Aristo will come to annihilate all these kings. Since I am omniscient, I know what is inevitably going to happen to me. Listen, and I will describe it to you. After returning to Dwarka, I will receive an invitation from Yudhisthira and will go to Indraprastha to participate in his Rajasuya sacrifice. There, I will kill Shishupala, after which I will again return to Dwarka and kill Salva. Next, I will travel to a place just south of Mathura to save you by killing Dantavakra. I will then go back to Vraja, see all my old friends, and again sit on your lap with great pleasure. Indeed, with great happiness, I will spend the rest of my life with you. God has written his fate on my forehead, and it has been written on your foreheads that until the day I return, you must tolerate separation from me. Neither of our destinies can possibly be changed, so please find the courage to leave me here for now and go home to Vraja. And if, in the meantime, you, my dear parents, and you, my beloved friends, are distressed by the unavoidable fate written on our foreheads, then whenever you wish to feed me some delicacy or play some game with me or simply see me, just close your eyes and I will appear before you to turn your torment into sky flowers and fulfill all your desires. I promise you this, and young friends of mine whose lives I saved in the forest can vouch for it. Convinced by all these arguments that his son's happiness was of prime importance, Nanda accepted the gifts offered him and took his leave, accompanied by the Yadus' large armies. Unable to withdraw their minds from Lord Govinda's lotus feet where they had surrendered them, Nanda and the cowherd men and women returned to Mathura. Their relatives, having thus departed and seeing that the rainy season was approaching, the Vrishnis, whose only lord was Krishna, went back to Dwarka. They told the people of the city about the festive sacrifices performed by Vasudev, lord of the Yadavas, and about everything else that had happened during their pilgrimage, especially how they had met with all their loved ones. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada to the 10th canto, 84th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Sage's Teachings at Kurukshetra. So these verses conclude this chapter on which includes the meeting of the people of Vrindavan with the people of Dwarka and Krishna. So in the meantime, there was also the teachings given by the different sages, and then they departed after they did sacrifice. And then finally, it's stated here how the people of Vrindavan could not stay there, so Nanda Maharaj made up his mind to go back to Vrindavan again. But now it was only the Yadus and the Krishna and Balaram and the people of Vrindavan, all the other kings and people had left. So it was a little more intimate. But when Nanda tried to go, he could not go because of his attachment to Krishna. Not only Nanda, but all the people of Vrindavan. So therefore it's explained for 3 months, every day, Nanda Maharaj says, I'll go tomorrow. And the next day comes, I'll go tomorrow, I'll go tomorrow, I'll go tomorrow, like this. Kept delaying and delaying and delaying. For all 3 months went on like this. So it could not go on forever, obviously. In this way, we see the great attachment that the people of Vrindavan and Nanda Maharaj and the gopis, everyone had for Krishna and Balaram. And thus they could not bear that separation. But then there's another separation as the conversation that Vishnu Chakravarti describes here shows. If Krishna goes to Vrindavan, then he will become separated from the Yadus, and the Yadus will feel separation. So in either case, there will be some difficulty. This is something that is difficult to resolve where we have Krishna in with devotees in two different places. There's going to be some sort of separation at some point. If he satisfies one by going there, then the other party will be dissatisfied. So in the spiritual world, then we don't see such a prolonged separation taking place. because Krishna always stays in Vrindavan, or he always stays in Dwarka and those places, so he doesn't go from one place to the other. So this Prakata pastime of Krishna staying for 12 years or 11 years in Vrindavan and then going to Mathura for some time and then going to Dwarka, where he's in different places at different times, that does not manifest explicitly in the spiritual world. So therefore Krishna is always in Vrindavan, always in Dwarka, and always in Mathura there. So he's got these eternal abodes there. Of course, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita there, Sanatana Goswami describes that even then Akura comes to Vrindavan in the spiritual world also and takes Krishna away. But then he comes back again. So it's not such a prolonged separation at that point. So in any case, this prolonged separation is a typical affair that takes place when Krishna reveals his pastimes in this material world. So normally there is separation of different types, but not prolonged separation. For instance, every day there is separation from Krishna, even in the spiritual world, because Krishna goes out into the fields and then he's separated from Nanda and Yasoda, and then in the evening he comes back. So there's separation like that, temporary separation. But we don't see this very prolonged separation. So this is the one type of separation that takes place. So even in the spiritual world, therefore, because that separation takes place, even though it is not so long, it gives rise to some sort of pain. So Nanda and Yasoda, when they have to leave, separate from Krishna in the morning, they feel great distress. And when he comes back in the evening, they feel great joy. Of course, we can say Krishna also feels the same when he separates from Nanda and Yasoda in the morning. He must feel great pain, he comes back. But then, of course, Krishna's got the cowherd boys with him. So there's a compensation there. So we find such types of separation. There's other types of separation which are purposeful separations caused by Krishna. Or by the gopis, for instance, where the gopis refuse to see Krishna, or Krishna refuses to see the gopis, like that. So intentionally they have some sort of anger manifested where they separate for some time. So there's various types of separation, but it's not prolonged. So the prolonged separation we see takes place here in the pastimes when Krishna comes to the material world. But we should not think that the spiritual world is devoid of separation, because we find some types of separation there. And then the remarkable thing, even if there is no separation, they imagine separation. Krishna's right in front of them and they imagine Krishna's gone. Somehow they're so worried that they think Krishna's left, even when he's standing there. So even within the greatest union, there's also some sort of feeling of separation. So this is particularly in the gopis we find this. One of their symptoms is this presumed separation when there is no separation. So within any situation of prema, then, we can find that there is types of separation taking place even in the spiritual world. In this case, more prolonged, and therefore the symptoms become more extreme. So because of the separation for a long time, the people of Vrindavan went to Kurukshetra to see Krishna and Balaram. And of course they were overjoyed by that. And then they were expecting, we will take Krishna back now. We will take him back with us. But we see here that ultimately they didn't, and they left without him. So the verses describe how Nanda Maharaj was so attached that he kept delaying and delaying and delaying. And then the next verse, okay, then finally he left. The Yadus gave him all sorts of gifts and he returned. So that looks a little peculiar. How could he suddenly change his mind and whatever like that? So to supply the missing reasons, therefore we have this whole purport where Vishnu Chakravarti describes the conversations that the various personalities had with Ananda Maharaj. So we have Vasudeva speaking to him, and Ugrasena speaking to him, and then Krishna himself speaking to him to give different reasons why he can't directly go. Ultimately, of course, we see they did go, and it was not because they got some gifts. Obviously, they're not interested in gifts. That's a secondary thing. So somehow, Nanda Maharaj must have been satisfied. So what would satisfy him if again he went and he didn't bring Krishna back? Previously, he had promised, when Krishna went to Mathura, he had promised to Yasoda, his wife, that I'll bring Krishna back with me. And then he came back and there was no Krishna there. And Yasoda was so upset and angry that Nanda Maharaj didn't know what to do after that, because he couldn't give any excuse. So it was a very disturbing situation. So now again, Nanda Maharaj goes back and he hasn't got Krishna with him. Very disappointing again. But yet he did this. So how is it possible? So he must have been pacified somehow or other. So therefore the reasons are given here in this conversation that Vishnu Chakravarti constructs. So one reason is, of course, that he cannot abruptly leave the Yadus. They have to need some protection, so therefore he has to take the queens back to Dwarka, and he can't do that and trust other people. He should do that personally. The Yadus themselves will feel separation from Krishna also, so that he has to gradually withdraw himself somehow or other. So that's one type of reason. The other, of course, is that there, Krishna explains later on that there are some more demons that have to be killed, because Krishna understands the future, so based on that excuse, I'm Supreme Lord, so I know what's going to happen in the future. I know these demons are going to attack. Therefore, for this reason, I have to do a few things, like killing Shishupala and then Dantavakra. But after Dantavakra's killing, then I will come back. So, finally, a promise was received from Krishna, and Nanda Maharaj believed this, that he would return after killing Dantavakra at the gate of Mathura. So we don't hear about this event in the Bhagavatam itself, though there's some references that are given, but there's details given in the Padma Purana. So our acharyas often quote the Padma Purana to show that Krishna finally did return. So he kept his promise that he initially made when he left Vrindavan for Mathura many, many years ago. And he also kept this promise now that he would come back after killing Dantavakra. So, therefore, Krishna didn't break his promise ultimately because he went back to Vrindavan. Here, of course, the promise is made. Because of that promise, Nanda Maharaj finally leaves after 3 months because he has the promise of Krishna himself, who sees the future, and he trusts that he can see the future, and therefore the promise must be true. So based on that, then he goes back to Vrindavan with all the people, and in this way, again, they must experience separation for some time. Ultimately, that separation is followed by meeting again. So when there is a long separation, then we have finally a type of meeting again. When we have a short separation, again there is meeting. So there's different types of meeting, because there's different types of separation: prolonged separation, momentary separation, or separation due to anger, and so they all have a resolution somewhere with a meeting. So we have actually two types of prema or rasa, in Madhurya rasa, but all the rasas will have two types. One in meeting and one in separation. So they are quite distinct. Because in separation we get a lot of looks like pain and lamentation. And in meeting we get a lot of joy. But they're both parts of prema. So in other words, we cannot criticize these pastimes and say that Krishna is cruel, whatever. But these pastimes simply illustrate the two aspects of prema, the one in separation and the one in union. And both are aspects of prema, and prema is bliss. So therefore, separation is part of the bliss, in spite of the fact that it looks quite different. So this is quite different from the material world. The separation in the spiritual world, or in the material pastimes, ends or resolves, finally, by Krishna meeting. So we have the two types of prema, separation and meeting, and they both, one follows the other, so it's continual. In material activities and material relationships, it's not like that. The separation can be finished and there's no resolution by meeting again. And that often happens, especially if a person dies and then it's finished. So there's no resolution to the separation. But not so in the spiritual world. So the two aspects are there as intertwined very closely within prema, and it's experienced in all the rasas. But it reaches its most intense form in Madhurya Rasa. And therefore the gopis of Vrindavan are the highest examples of love and separation. Because in separation the intensity of love becomes very, very strong. Nevertheless, the separation is experienced on all levels in the different rasas, but most extreme in Madhurya Rasa. So, as I said, even if there is no circumstances to cause the separation, they'll create the circumstances by anger or whatever. And then they end up in the same result of the separation. And then when they're separated, then Krishna's lamenting and the gopis are lamenting. And then finally they come together again. So in other words, the rasas are dynamic. They're always active. And the active nature is defined by, one way is defined by the meeting and the separation, which creates quite a lot of difference in the prema within one rasa. So it's also described that rasa, particularly Madhurya rasa, is, they say it's like a snake. Because how does a snake move? It doesn't go straight, it goes like this. It wiggles. So the path of prema is like that. It goes like this. It just doesn't go like that. It's always one way or the other. So this is caused a lot by this separation, union, separation, union, separation, union. We get big disturbance taking place. But this gives a taste to the rasa and prema. It is said that within that, it is difficult to understand from the material point of view because we don't have this experience. But within the separation, which appears like great pain and lamentation, also they experience the highest bliss. So that's difficult for us to understand. But nevertheless, that is the statement of Scripture. So we have to accept that statement. So therefore, we can never criticize that separation as being some act of cruelty on Krishna's part. It is part of rasa, and within that, there's the experience of the highest bliss. So therefore, there's no problem with separation taking place in spiritual pastimes. So finally, of course, it's resolved. The situation is resolved, and Krishna goes back to Vrindavan. When he is there, then it's a problem because then he has to go back to Dwarka again. And again there's separation. So that situation is resolved by the fact that he stays there eternally. in one form, which is equivalent to the apricot lila. So we don't really see that. But then Krishna's there with the people of Vrindavan in an apricot form eternally. And then in a manifested form, he goes back to Dwarka and continues pastimes there for some time until he also leaves the earth planet. So, therefore, the situation is resolved for the people of Vrindavan when Krishna finally does return. So, he makes a promise here, and that promise is fulfilled, and after he does return, then he never separates again. He's always there. But still, even when he's there eternally, then we have the other types of separation taking place momentarily for some time. So within the prema, there's always this separation taking place, and not just in the earthly pastimes in these certain cases. So it's a characteristic of prema itself that we have the two versions of it. The combination creates the highest bliss.
If you see in the modern world, this kind of separation is a perverted thing. Like a man is working in a different city, wife is working in a different city, a son is in a different place, boarding school. Once in a year on a birthday or wedding day, they meet at a hotel and have Father's Day and Mother's Day. This looks like the same thing, like a pervert.
We can say there's in the material world we have separation due to circumstances, and here we have circumstances where Krishna leaves and goes to Mathura and then Dwarka because he has to kill Kamsa and the demons or whatever. Material world we have circumstances where people have to do to work or whatever, they have to separate also. So in that sense there's similarity, but in the material world things always don't resolve properly, and they may stay apart forever. They may finally, of course, the whole relationship may crumble away also, and it does not necessarily increase the attachment or increase the love. So separation is not inevitably followed by union. There may be separation for good, ultimately. They separate and then they have less attraction, finally no attraction at all due to great separation. So the material world, the rasas, are their reflection of the spiritual rasas, but they're not in perfect form. They are distorted forms.
Also, you find this in Kali Yuga, the devotees are always feeling separation because in Dwapar Yuga, once in a while they can see Lord. But here, devotees, except for the holy name and the deity in the temple, they have eternal, it looks like eternal separation.
Yeah. For sadhana, of course, there is that type of separation, and even in bhava or in prema, for a devotee who is in the material world, there will be times when Krishna appears and disappears, even in bhava and prema. So that type of thing is there. We see in the case of Narada Muni, the Lord appeared and then he disappeared. You will not see me until for the rest of your life. So great separation there. And he said, because of that separation on that stage, then you'll develop more and more attraction. So that's of course on bhava and prema. For those on sadhana, of course, there's not so much attraction there. So therefore, it's a little bit of a different situation. And because the love is not fully developed, the bhakti is not fully developed, the Lord does not even appear at all. Nevertheless, the devotees in the material world can have such a sentiment of separation from the Lord also, longing to meet him. So we have a similar type of situation in a pure rasa when it's fully developed. Like with the gopis, they have purva raga. Before they meet Krishna, they start developing intense longing for him or whatever. Or with the Pandavas, they don't meet Krishna until he's already grown up and he's gone to Dwarka. But they had heard about him, so they had great longing for him all that time. So longing is separation before even meeting him, and then finally they meet him. So the devotees that are doing sadhana like that before they get to bhava and prema, where they directly see the Lord, then they have this state of not having met him yet. So that's a type of separation also. But of course not on the same level, because they don't have prema, they're still doing sadhana. But there's some sort of similarity there.
Can we understand separation is a kind of punishment? Usually in the material world, somebody who steals or does some mischievous is separated completely and put in a jail. It's a sort of punishment so that he can rectify and come back.
Well, that's not, that type of separation is more like isolation. It's not you, it's not caused by affectionate relationships. It's just a punishment due to, just like karma is a punishment or whatever. But in the material world, we can say separations are a type of punishment because it's their karma. They separate. It's their karma that they don't have harmonious relationships. So all of the painful aspects of relationships, we could say, are partially due to karma.
When people indulge in sense pleasures, then they're deprived of the sense pleasures, they're also feeling some sort of longing, separation from what they've been, what they're supposed to do. But in the spiritual world, it is the entire soul which is involved in that sort of separation. How do we compare with this metaphor of longing in the material world?
Well, in the material world, the pleasure is for ourselves. In the spiritual world, the longing is for somehow serving Krishna. So it's not for ourselves. Being able to serve Krishna, then they experience great satisfaction. And that gives them happiness. So the happiness is the result of serving Krishna. The happiness is not simply to get something for ourselves. So that's the difference. So the longing is not for our happiness, as in the material world. The longing is for Krishna's happiness.
But in this present scenario, Maharaj just mentioned that Krishna understands that his future, he has to go and kill demons and all that. But if he understands that he has to kill so-and-so, so-and-so, his intensity of the pastime's intensity is minimized, Maharaj. That if I have to go there, kill my these demons. The pastime's intimacy is minimized because he understands that he has to go kill those demons. When in this scenario, is being called here and there in both the places.
Yeah.
So his intensity of pastimes minimized because I have to go there and kill demons and all that.
Intensity of the pastime?
Yeah, because he is the Supreme Lord, I have to call. Maharaj mentioned that he has to go there and kill demons and all that.
Oh, well, in one sense, this is, we can say, not the ultimate reason. This is, we can say, a superficial reason he gives. Ultimately, he doesn't have to do anything. He could just will everything to happen and demons automatically finish, die, disappear, whatever like that if he wanted to. And they could just disappear and jivas could disappear themselves and not exist. So, in one sense, it's only within the construct of these pastimes that he makes this type of excuse or whatever reason for going. Ultimately, we can say it is another aspect of separation again within the pastimes. Another variety of separation it will take place for a short time before they actually do meet. So all within the pastimes that take place within the material world.
Actually, the sadhakas are completely in separation from Krishna, but the feeling of separation is either very minimum or just not there.
Well, because we're attached to the material world, so we don't feel separation because of that. We're more attached to the material world and separation from material objects than we are from Krishna. So that we have double attachments.
Familiarity contempts breed. Like even the Lord is there always, we may lose attraction.
Where?
For us, in our case.
Well, yeah, because we have material attraction. So, of course, as we advance and advance, the attraction for Krishna becomes more. Attraction for material things becomes less. So after Nishta, we get Ruchi and Asakti. So there's more attraction for Krishna there. So consequently, that feeling of separation from Krishna becomes quite visible. They're longing to see Krishna more and more. Whereas in the lower stages, obviously, there's more attraction for material things. So we don't see that longing for Krishna so much.
Krishna is like a pure devotee. He always sees Krishna everywhere. So why should he feel separation? Wherever he sees, the Lord will be in front of him.
There's two types of seeing Krishna. We can understand that everything is a part of Krishna's pastimes and everything is somehow serving Krishna, which is the vision of a person in prema. But
there's also a direct meeting with the Supreme Lord, not to simply see everything as like the gopis see the rivers serving Krishna and everything as, you know, serving Krishna, but still that they want to see Krishna directly and serve him directly. So there's a difference there. Yeah? So a compromise situation is internally Krishna manifests himself. So that's what he did for the people of Vrindavan, as is also explained here in the purport, that whenever they felt separation, Krishna would manifest within. And so they would be somewhat satisfied with that. That's called a spurti of the Lord. So it's something satisfying, but still they want that direct interaction, external Krishna also there, which is the most satisfying of all.
You know that one is seva and vapu seva. One is seva is more than vapu. We have been taught like this. Why can't a devotee take, let us take Krishna's instruction and follow, and we can see the Lord in the instruction by follow.
Yeah, so that's there as far as our sadhana and the material world is concerned. In the spiritual world, that direct association with the Lord is the most satisfying thing.
What is
the role of Paramatma in creating the link between the Atma and the Lord?
Well, Paramatma functions generally for the jivas who are bound up by material nature. Of course, we can say in some sense he functions to guide us towards Krishna, etc. But we can say that actually Bhagavan is functioning when the Lord is nourishing our bhakti. And when it's simply witnessing the activities of the jiva and making arrangements so he can satisfy his material desires, that's Paramatma functioning.
There's no role in asavat and atma of Lord.
Well, ultimately there's Bhagavan that does that, which is non-different from Paramatma, the same person, but different function.
But you see, in the spiritual world, there's always someone is experiencing some kind of separation, like starting from the, when Krishna is in home, he is separated from the gopas as well as gopis. When he is in forest, he is separated from Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, and sometimes gopis also. We see this variety is always there in the spiritual world, but we don't see that they all meet together or Krishna is satisfying everybody together. It's very rare we see in the spiritual world.
Well, sometimes Krishna meets everybody.
Except Govardhan pastime, something like that. Except Govardhan pastime.
Yeah. Or like when Krishna takes his meal in the morning, and then the parents are there, the friends are there, even the gopis are there, they're cooking for Krishna, so they're all there. So we have all the people there serving at that time, or in the evening again, they may be there also serving. So we need all of them there in those particular times.
I think, and there is a, something mentioned in the Bihad Bhagavad, he said that, you know, although Krishna is always in Dwaraka, but the queens, they feel that Krishna is not in Dwaraka, because his mind is always in Vrindavan. So we see that although Krishna is always with them, but they are feeling separation there. Mm-hmm. Because he is physically present, but internally he is not present.
Mm-hmm.
We see in the Dwaraka pastime. So yeah. That means their intensity of love increased when Krishna also there, but physically he is there, but internally he is not there.
Yeah. Well, in one sense, of course, his physical presence is some sort of consolation. But obviously that means that the intensity of his love for them is less because of that. But even there, even in the queens of Dwarka, the intensity goes to a certain level where even they, sometimes Krishna's there, but they feel he's absent. They think he's gone and they get all hysterical because, where is Krishna? But he's actually there. So they also have very intense love, but it's not to the highest degree. I think it goes up to Anuraga or something like that, but not up to Mahabhava. Is it compulsory for the fixed devotee chanting 16 rounds to do Sanjay Vandana, or optional? Devotees could feel he might as well chant more rounds instead of spending 20 minutes for Sanjay Vandana, which we have to do 3 times a day, yeah? So you mean hour a day you have to spend on that, yeah? Yeah. It depends on the person, because some people, probably most of the people who are devotees, never heard about Sanjay Vandana. How many have heard about it? You know about it? I think only a few brahmanas here, born in brahmanas family, heard about it, but even there in your family, how many traditionally do it? Even their fathers, some of them do it. As the brahmins, their fathers do it? Your father did it? Yeah. Well, you have to learn it. And then you do it, you know, three times a day or whatever. So probably very few devotees even know about it, what to speak of those who practiced it or had it in their family, even less. So nevertheless, they can do it. It's part of the Varnashram system, so they can do it. And of course, in other sampradayas, they put more emphasis upon that because they have more emphasis upon Varnashram. So it is there. It's not ultimately everybody has to do it because everybody doesn't do it anyway. It's only the upper castes, and even upper castes that very rarely will find the Vaishyas and Kshatriyas doing it. Do they? And any of them do it? Some of them get the thread when they're getting married, probably, and then that's about it. So they don't even do it as a practice from childhood. So the original intent was you take the thread and, when you're a child, and you practice the Sandha Vandana, and you study the Vedas. And the Sandha Vandana, obviously, is the Gayatri Mantra, which is the summary of the Vedas, so it reminds you of the Vedas all day long, whatever. So it's part of Vedic study, etc. But then when they don't take a Gurukul education at all, then it becomes a little bit less meaningful for people. It can be followed, but again, as I said, if they understand the meaning of it, that actually it is worship of the Supreme Lord, and they can do it. It's another type of kirtan in one sense, according to Vedic standards, so nothing wrong with that also. But then the emphasis in our sampradaya is on chanting the holy name as the most powerful thing. So emphasis is there. If they can do both, fine. But if it comes to a choice, then ultimately the devotee would choose chanting rather than Sandha Vandana. If they have 2 hours to do sadhana a day, or 1 hour to do it, what are they going to choose? So they would rather chant than do Sandha Vandana. If they have 1 hour, then they'd do the chanting rather than the Sandha Vandana. Because the instruction of Lord Chaitanya is not to do Sandha Vandana, it's to do chant holy name. So therefore, they would, if it came to a choice, they would do chanting over that. Huh? Yeah, it's there. It's there. But it's not in the 64 angas mentioned in there, so it's not a primary anga of bhakti. It's part, of course, not only in high bhakti vilas we find that, but we find so many other things like bathing and stuff, which are not angas of bhakti proper. According to Smriti or Vedic standards, bathing, chanting mantras and stuff and doing all that, passing stool according to a Vedic version, brushing your teeth according to Vedic standards, all there in the Hari Bhakti Kalas. Those things hardly anybody follows. Even the Brahmins probably don't follow nowadays the toothbrush part or the bathing part also. They probably don't follow much of that even. But that's there in Hari Bhakti Kalas also, but very few people follow that. Yeah. But silly people, very difficult for them to follow. Very difficult.
This in the Gurvastakam, in the last prayer, we see there is also mentioned about Tirisandhya. You know, it's the same thing. Tirisandhya, you know, Vande Guru, Yasya Prasadar Bhagavat Prasada, Yasya Prasadar Nagati Guru, Dhyayam Stavam Stasya, Yasya Tirisandhyam, Tirisandhyam.
So that means three times a day in the evening time.
It's a Gayatri Mantra, correct. Is the Gayatri Mantra the same thing?
No, it means the Sundays.
Yeah.
The Sundays are? So many, I think 24 minutes before sunrise, 24 minutes after sunrise, noontime and evening time, sunset, 24 minutes before and after sunset. That's called the Sandhi, Sandhya. So we have three Sandhyas.
Is it the same or different thing?
So then we remember the Lord. That's all it says, remember the Lord, remember Guru three times a day. Yeah. That's all.
Huh? Is not a Gayatri Mantra same, the Guru Gayatri, same thing or different?
It doesn't specifically say that. Now you can chant your Guru Mantra. Mm-hmm. Three times a day, mm-hmm. which we generally do. But we could just remember Guru three times a day without doing any Sandha Vandana. So Sandha Vandana is particularly not just Gayatri Mantra, but along with that, and there are certain procedures. So there's purification procedures, offering tarpanas, Surya, what is it, Upasthana? Surya Upasthana is there, tarpanas are there, Avahana is there, called the Gayatri Mantra. What is that other one, that purification, something with water, water they do, this chant mantras of water, etc. So they have various rituals they do within that, and it takes about 20 minutes or longer even. Depends on how long they chant the Gayatri, of course, also. And then there's a Visarjana where they tell the Gayatri Devi to leave again, and then we have a few rituals after that. So it's a whole procedure, which should be done according to, with Vedic or with swaras, etc., and all that involved also.
Maharaj Vasudeva's words here to Nanda Maharaj that I promise I will send him back, I will not cause any obstacles. What does he mean? Is he lying or why is he speaking Ugrasena. Such words? Uh-huh. Vasudeva also, he's saying, I promise, uh-huh. I swear.
Well, we don't know because it never happened like that, because then also Krishna says after that, well, I can't go back immediately anyway. So then that negates all whatever anyone else said before that. So maybe they were sincere in saying that, but then Krishna says, Krishna then says, I can't go back, I have to, do these other things as well. So that kind of negates whatever they said.
When it's talking of separation, one separation most devotees are unable to accept is Sitaram separation after the coronation. Mm-hmm. So is there any way to understand that, find some consolation in that?
Well, again, we can say that's a type of vipralamba, a separation. Of course, there was separation when she was kidnapped, and then separation later on again. So it's another type of separation, we can say. So it's, again, part of the pastimes of the Lord when he's in the material world, whether it's Rama or Krishna, they can experience these type of things. And again, we have to understand it's part of prema itself. So from material point of view, it looks disastrous. But from a spiritual point of view, no, it's only part of prema. So then it's not to be criticized.
Well, there's an online question. Material world is a commercial world. How does spiritual world works with regard to transactions?
What transactions?
Material world is a commercial world. How does spiritual world works with regard to transactions?
In spiritual world, every transaction is rasa. I guess. I don't know what he wants to say. It's all based on love for Krishna. And everything is blissful. That's all. Transaction, spiritual. Material transaction is, we interact with people and things in the material world to support our material body and get material pleasure. Basically, that's what transaction in the material world is for. Yeah.
Yeah.